Oh, I've just cheered myself. You got me excited, Al. I just cheered myself. I gave myself a woo. Maybe that's a good thing, hey? Why don't you stay standing? And welcome back Tash, too. Tash has been on a cruise. Wow. I was just thinking about that then. You can stay standing while I share this deep insight. Are we going to live life knowing we've got a destination or a cruise? Cruises are a great thing to do for a holiday, but you know, they don't really have a destination, do they? You sort of cruise around and you experience, you see a lot of stuff, you experience things and you get back to where you started from. But you know what? We're not called to a cruise. We're called to a destination. We're called to a kingdom. We're called to a difference. No problem with a cruise, Tash. Hey, I just want you to stay standing. I have a conversation with somebody before the service, and I think it's important. Obviously, in Tassie, we've got an election coming up next weekend. And I reckon a lot of you, when you think about elections, you sort of think, oh, for goodness sake. And another one. And there's a sense, perhaps, in our political landscape at the moment where we feel a little disengaged from what happens. And I'm not going to go into all my thoughts around that. But what I do want to say is, as kingdom people, first and foremost, we need to pray. And Jesus told us to pray for our government, whether we think they're the ones that we chose or not, that we do, that we pray for them. And secondly, we are blessed to live in a democracy where actually, you know, your voice does matter and it does make a difference. And if we are disconnected from that process, we get what we get. But if we are a little more engaged with the process, things do change. And sometimes you can feel like it doesn't. So, you know, there are ways that you can... I'm not going to tell you how to vote. You know, some churches do. And, you know, we know the Americans are big into that. But I'm not going to tell you how or who to vote for. But I'm perhaps going to say that you need to consider it carefully. And you can check this stuff out. You can check, you know, use some of the material that's out there, like Australian Christian Lobby and others, where they actually talk to the candidates about where they stand, you know, where they stand on the things that we know are values and are important to us as kingdom people and Christians. Because, you know, we are in a season and a time where social change is happening at a rate that perhaps we've never experienced before. And we don't just have to think that it's a fait accompli, that it will just happen. You know, things will change if we actually engage with it. And I think even more powerful than your vote is your prayer. And let's pray, and then let's vote in line with what we pray for. So come on, let's pray for our government. Let's pray for the election this Saturday. Father, we thank you that you've blessed us so much, that we live in a blessed land. We live in one of the most amazing places in the world. We thank you for the incredible opportunity that is ahead of us. And we pray for the people of Tasmania. We pray that there would be light, there would be hope, there would be future that just floods this place. You know, flood it with your spirit and with your truth in Jesus' name. We pray for the election. We pray that you would just cause us to pray for it, pray for our government, pray for how the election goes, and just engage us with, you know, the values and things that people stand for. And we just ask that you would move in this space in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, have a seat. Look, really, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that there seems to be more fun going on upstairs than down here. I know many of you are just itching to run around and scream. Yeah, I knew there'd be one. I knew. Matt, I am actually going to release you in Jesus' name. If you need, I know where your heart is. And I know where you're most comfortable. If you need to go upstairs and participate with the program, I'm going to let you do that. All right. Anybody else need to scream, run around? Hey, you should have... We had a car full of boys this morning, yep. And Alex. Yep. And you should have heard some of the music that we were playing on the way to church. Well, I mean, we went from Baby Shark to ELO. It was just absolutely incredible. a few weeks back, we launched our vision for 2024. And if you haven't got a vision book yet, because, we all have things where we miss Sundays at different times, but, let's make getting to church a priority when we can, whenever we can, and choose to make that something that we plan around. But if you haven't got a vision book yet, the ushers are going to hand some of those around, so just give them a wave if you need a vision book. So you've got that and you can actually see where we're going. Alex said that, unity's not wearing the same shirt. Unity's not actually even going for the same football team, even though I believe there are some godly decisions that you could make around football teams. But I think Paul talked about it better than anyone. He said that we have one calling, one Lord, and one baptism, one Christ who is above all. That's where our unity is. And when we've got that sort of unity, we can be unified to a vision that we're walking on together. So that's what this is all about. So I've been asking over the last few weeks, what is possible for you in 2024? What's possible for you in 2024? What's possible in your family in 2024? You might say to me, Dave, you might be praying for your family, but have you seen my family? Hey, we all got weird families. I've got my parents here. They're not weird, but we've got, we've been, haven't we, Mum and Dad? We've been through some weird experiences. We've all got it going on in our families. But you know what? Jesus works. Jesus works in the broken. He works in the dysfunctional. He works in the weird. He even works. Has anybody got that sort of really nice, presentable family? The one that, you've got that perfect family photo and your family is like that all the time. Great, we're all on the same page. There you go. Jesus specializes in your type of family. What's possible in your family? What's possible in your finances? Hey, who's got perfect finances? Wow. Who's achieving all that they wish they could achieve in their finances? Come on. I get excited about when I look at our vision and what we want to see happen in this city. And when we had Vision Sunday, we're talking about that picture we saw of Hobart. I get excited about the things that we're believing for in Nepal, the things that we're believing for in the Philippines. But guess what? Do we have all the finance to do those things right now? No. But will God's provision actually follow godly vision? Absolutely it will. In your family, will God's provision follow godly vision in your family and in your finances? Come on, that's where it starts. It doesn't actually start with, oh, God, give me more so I can do more. It actually starts with you getting something in your heart, getting a calling from Him, and you're thinking, you know what, we've got to make our finances actually get engaged with the vision that He's given us. And that will change. That will change the way that you do your finances. Sometimes you think, oh, what's possible in 2024? Let's just lower the bar so we don't get disappointed. We've all been there, aren't we? You go around to Auntie Thelma's for lunch. And you know the way that Auntie Thelma cooks, so you don't sort of set the bar too high so you don't get disappointed. Anybody got an Auntie Thelma? But come on, we're not called to do that in our kingdom thinking. What did Jesus say about that? In Matthew 19:26, this is when the disciples sort of had this one of these what the moments with Jesus. And he says to them, he says, hey, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You know, God can do the impossible with our possible when we choose to live strong and courageous, knowing he is above all. God can do the impossible when we dedicate, and I've been talking about this stuff, when we dedicate our plans to him, knowing he can do immeasurably more than we hope or imagine. God can do the impossible when our plans are aligned with him. God will do the impossible as we pray, giving our plans and focus on alignment with his will. And our key verse for this year, Ephesians 3:20, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. You know, God wants to do exceedingly above all that you ask or even think. For God to do above these things, we need to choose to live above, and we've been talking about that. So the strategy that we have as a church to really walk towards that vision is reach, gather, grow. You know, we want to be, and we believe that we're being called to be a big-hearted, big-spirited, prophetic church that will reach through the familiar and embrace the whole community. Yeah. We feel we're called to declare unlimited hope and favour across our city to the nations. Yeah. Through love, actually in action. It means love in action. You see, real love actually causes us to do something. It causes actions. There are things that flow out of that. We will see our community restored, and we will see marginalised and disadvantaged people, families, situations, communities, suburbs transformed. Come on. Come on. We've had a heart for Hobart for a long time. And God specifically guided us into certain areas, and we've had a heart for New Norfolk for a long time. And we've got Sandra here. Sandra and Tom had a heart for New Norfolk, you know, 30 years ago, and pioneered a church. And that church has actually been sown into this church, and we're seeing God continue to work. We're seeing God open doors. We're believing, and we're already seeing that because of that belief, we're seeing a community that has perhaps been one of the more difficult communities as far as kingdom values and thinking goes in the state of Tasmania is being transformed. And we're believing for God to continue to do incredible things in that space. Hey, come on, we gather. You can't do this alone. You know, when we gather together, powerful things happen. And we don't gather just to have a cruise, do we, Tash? We gather to grow. Actually, I found that you can grow very well on a cruise. Alex and I have been on one cruise in our life, and my goodness gracious me. We went to the gym every day, and I think we still put on about 15 kilos each. Maybe Alex didn't. But you know what we believe? Every person is created in the image of God and has unlimited potential for greatness. And really, that's about becoming more like Jesus. So last week, we talked about what it means to follow and the fact that Jesus had groupies and he had followers. And I asked the question, you know, are we a follower? Or are we a groupie? Are we hanging around, or actually are we following with intent? And Jesus challenged that. And it's actually simple. Following Jesus is simple, but it's not always easy. Simple, but not easy. It actually gets easier the more intentional you are about following. Because the more intentional you are about following, the more you actually close down and you take all sorts of options off the table that bring confusion to you. Here we go. I want to continue to talk about what it means to grow. Have you noticed often that following a big high or a significant event, it can be often followed by a time of confusion? Have you seen that? For example, a football club wins the grand final and they're on a huge high. They're on a high for a long time, and it, you know, at the highest level is what's actually got to go in to winning a grand final is huge. So there's this high of highs. And then we see the come down. You know, we see the football trip, we see the after party, we see young men full of testosterone being driven by that rather than making good decisions. And they can go from the highest high to the lowest of low, landing themselves in court, you know, with their career in tatters. And then, of course, the schoolies. Oh, we finished school, let's party. You know, you can go from the highest of high to the lowest of lows. And you know, sometimes you can have a family event, you're so excited about it and it's great, but somehow it descends into a low as we actually come down off the moment. And the miracle of Jesus feeding 5,000 plus people is recorded in all four Gospels. It's one of the few miracles that we read about in all the Gospels. So it's obviously important. It's obviously something that we've got to take note of. It's obviously something that was very significant. And following this miracle where Jesus had fed 5,000 plus people, and it was a lot more than that because it actually said 5,000 men, and probably you could have said that probably each man might have had, you know, another four or five people with him. So it was a lot of people. So Jesus does this incredible miracle. And then we read in John 6:66, the same chapter where this miracle is recorded, and it's all connected. And it says this. It says, "At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him." Wow. Wow. Jesus had just, he had gone all out. Yeah, all these people who were perhaps groupies, they'd come out of town, they'd got into this remote place where he's teaching on the side of the lake, there's miracles happening, and then he does the miracle of miracles. He feeds 5,000 people. With five loaves and two fish, he feeds perhaps 15,000 people. And what was the result of that? People turned away. Wow. And it's not a one-off. I've seen it happen in church life. I can think of people now where we would, you know, we would lay hands on them, you know, every week. And you know, we're believing, you know, infertility, we're believing that they'll have a child. You know, in Jesus' name, you know, God wants to bless you. And then they have the child, and then they turn away. What's my point? My point is that the miracle will not save you. Some of us are believing for miracles. I want you to keep believing for miracles. I want you to keep living by faith. But the miracle will not save you. The miracle will not save you. Jesus could see that they were focusing on the hype rather than the meaning. They ate the bread, but they were unable to see the actual miracle and what it was about. See, Jesus didn't do any of his miracles by accident. Every single miracle that he did had a meaning and a layer that was much deeper than the miracle on the surface. He was trying to show us something with every single miracle that he did. John 6:53, he says, "I tell you the truth." And Alex hadn't read my notes. It's interesting what she read this morning. John 6:53, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, sounds a bit gross, doesn't it? You cannot have eternal life. You see, the point was, and I'll explain this a little bit more as we go on, the people wanted to keep Jesus around to serve as a magical baker king who would keep the loaves coming rather than actually making him the source of their spiritual life. And I've got a question. You can see it on the screens there. The baker or the bread? Now I could have started this message by asking a trick question, but I'm not actually so much into trick questions. But the baker or the bread? What's the most important, the baker or the bread? Now, if I'd have said that out of context and said, what's the most important, the baker or the bread? Most of the smart ones among you would have said, oh, the baker. Because if we sustain the baker, well, we can keep getting bread. Now, that makes complete sense and it's true. But Jesus actually even flipped this around because in this sense, he's like the baker in that he's supplying, he's feeding them, but he says, you're not even getting it. It actually goes deeper than that. It goes deeper than that. You know, I am not your magical baker king. I am your bread. Let me explain. You see, seeing a loaf of bread on a plate won't satisfy your hunger. Knowing the ingredients of the bread will not satisfy your hunger. Taking pictures. Have we got any people that like putting their food on Instagram here? Taking pictures of the bread will not satisfy your hunger. Telling people about the bread won't even satisfy your hunger. Selling the bread won't satisfy your hunger. Playing catch with the bread won't satisfy your hunger. Nothing will satisfy our hunger and bring us life except actually eating the bread. Right. And the first issue in this is a matter of context. You see, the issue is in John 6, as I've said, the people wanted to keep Jesus around. They liked having him around. They wanted him to serve them as like their magical baker king. In other words, this like the fairy godmother who could supply the things that they wanted rather than making him their spiritual source. And John 6:26, he says, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill. And he's rebuking their spiritual short-sightedness. They ate the bread, but they were unable to see what the sign actually meant. See, if these people, in the physical presence, imagine being there when Jesus feeds the 5,000. Imagine you were in the crowd. Imagine you ate the bread. Imagine that you ate the fish. Imagine you were part of that miracle. Imagine when you sort of thought, well, where are they going to get this food from? And you look across and there's no food vans coming into park. You know, there's no semi-trailer being backed up with Cripps Bakery on the side of it. There's nothing like that happening. So they knew the food wasn't there. And suddenly they start to serve and the food just keeps coming and it keeps coming and it keeps coming and everybody eats and they ate till they were so full they couldn't eat anymore, and we're told that 12 baskets of food were picked up after they'd all eaten everything that they could. Imagine being there. Here's my question. Do you think that we could be eating the food? Is how much more does this apply to us? Do you think that we could be eating the food and missing the message? Do you think we're going to be eating the food and missing the message? Now, we had a conversation, good conversation, in our core leadership team this week. And if you want to look at the last season of the church, perhaps, the part of the church that's been growing, the part of the church that's perhaps high profile, there's been a lot of focus on atmosphere. And I don't mind that. I like that. I like the atmosphere. We can't think, oh, yeah, we do church and we just have the worst atmosphere we can because it's all about Jesus. No, it's all about Jesus and we're going to make the atmosphere the best we can. But if it's all about the atmosphere and we're missing Jesus, that's not sustainable. And I think that's one of the things that we've grappled with. You see, you can hang around banjos. I look around here, I've seen a few of you hanging around banjos. No. Well, you know what? This is actually, I eat gluten-free and banjos don't have a thing. If anybody's got connection with banjos, you could probably tell them that. You can even drink their coffee. I don't know how many of you drink banjos coffee, but you can do it. You can even have great conversations on their tables. But if you want to satisfy your hunger, if you want some energy, well, you will have to eat their bread. And I think what my point is, sometimes we're like going to banjos. You know, we're hanging around, we're having the great conversations, we're in the foyer, we're around church, we're around the community, but are we eating the bread? And I think sometimes as churches, we get criticized. Oh, yeah, they're not bringing deep enough teaching. They're not bringing enough bread. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. And sometimes that might be true. But the bigger question is, are we eating the bread? Yeah. And Jesus said, you know what? The whole point of what he was saying is that if you want to live a life that is spiritually sustainable, that has a source, that is life-changing, you have to consume me. In other words, I have to be in you. I have to be transforming you from the inside. In other words, you've got to understand this salvation thing. When you eat the bread, he wasn't talking about literally, but he was saying when you engage with me, you're taking in the fact that I was broken so that you can be whole. And that has got to get into you. It's got to get into your system and you've got to eat the bread. And you got to, he says, drink the blood. Yeah, sounds weird, doesn't it, in our context. But he said, you've got to understand that the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that will purify you in a spiritual sense. Because there is nothing that you can do to make that happen other than experience, drink the blood of Christ. In other words, you got to say, Lord, I actually need your forgiveness. Your forgiveness and your mercy and your grace is the only thing that sustains me. It is the only thing that is going to get me through a crazy world. That's what he means when he says, eat the bread and drink the blood. Jesus replied, this is John 6, 26 to 36, but I'm going to break it down as I go, so the team will do their best. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understand the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give. So Jesus makes this contrast between material things and spiritual things. And people, we're all like this. Naturally, we're so much more attached to spiritual things. You see, if we put a sign out the front of our church or out here on Main Road and the sign said, spiritual fulfillment and eternal life available here. Do you think people would be flocking through the doors because they read that sign? But imagine if we put a different sign up. A sign that said, free beer. Free food. free money. People would be flocking through the door. I heard about a church in Denmark, and this was done with good intent. But you know what? They obviously, you know, to get the message out there, they had to meet people. They needed to get people around. What did they do when they launched their services? They offered free beer. They got people to their service. Verse 27b, I'll take you back to the scripture now before you get carried away and start thinking about free beer. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. They replied, we want to perform God's work too. What should we do? Basically, they were saying, hey, Jesus, we want to do cool stuff too. We've seen you do miracles. We want to sort of do that sort of stuff. Just tell us what to do and we can get what we want. And I was talking to somebody recently and, you know, they've got a gift on their life to make money. And people sometimes ask them, hey, show me how to make money. It was Michael Weeks. Just joking, it wasn't. Show me how to make money. But it's not something that you can just do like that. You see, it's more than showing someone how. Yes, it's a gift, but really, in that sense, it's what you believe. It's what you believe about money. It's how you look, and you can't just show somebody, because it actually comes out of something that is much more core than just do this and you'll get that. Yeah. Who's ever completely followed a recipe and completely mucked it up? Yeah. And there are other people that just don't use a recipe and they never muck it up. You see, it's about what's inside. It's about what you know about food. It's about knowing how it balances and those sorts of things. What has God, and Jesus sort of was taking them deeper here. You know, what work? They said, hey, what work should we do? You know, what should we do? What should we do so we get that? And in the depth of this stuff, Jesus simplifies it. And he says, he actually helps them understand what work they should do. So how do we eat the bread to make Jesus your bread and not your baker? How do we make Jesus our source and not our vendor? You thought about that? You think about a vendor. A vendor is somebody who supplies things that we need. Vending machines, you know, they're set up everywhere now, aren't they? Just so that when you're walking through a mall, that your kids can say, oh, there's a Coke machine. Oh, I just want some more Coke. And vending machines, you know, they serve their purpose, but they won't sustain your life, because eventually the vending machine will run out. And Jesus said, I don't want to be your vending machine. I don't want to be your vendor. In fact, I want you to understand that if you would eat from me, that if you take me in, you don't need a vending machine, because you've got everything that you need. You've got the source inside of you, and you're not reliant on a machine. You're not reliant on a vendor. You're not reliant on a person. You're not reliant on a program, because you've got the life inside you. And I think sometimes we're missing this. We think, if only I can get to the atmosphere. Oh, you know, I'd like to have another experience. If only I could get on a plane and go over to Bethel, wow. It would be all soul for me. I would be in the presence. I tell you what, you would have a great time. You would have some great experiences. But unless you ate the bread and got a revelation of the fact of who is in you, you're not going to be changed. See, we've got an encounter night coming up, and our prayer is always in an encounter night that you experience the presence of God in such a way that you are changed. And it's not about the experience, it's about the fact that in the experience, you might get a deeper revelation of what it means to eat the bread. Because you can come for the experience and nothing will change. But if you come for the experience and somehow something shifts in you and you're going, I'm going to go deeper into Jesus and I'm going to understand what it means to take him right into me, well, then you'll be changed and you'll be carrying a source of life and you don't need the vendor. So how do we make Jesus our source rather than our vendor? Number one, this is simple, but again, not easy. Believe in the one God sent. Jesus said it's simple. You've got to believe in the one that God sent. In other words, believe in me. Jesus' first and foremost commandment, not to do, but to trust. Not to do, but to trust. And you might say, Dave, I've read the scripture. Because this rich guy came to Jesus and he said, Master, leader, rabbi, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus actually answered him. He gave him something to do. He said, well, if you want to do something, go and give all your money away and follow me. But what he was saying was, you actually got to move from trusting in your money to trusting in me. Because he went to the heart of what was driving this guy. And he said, I am actually, if you really want eternal life, you've got to move from that do to trust. See, our faith in him is not a substitute for work. Sometimes as Christians we can think, oh yeah, we don't have to do anything. But our faith is the foundation for works that truly please God. Faith and belief is the foundation of anything that pleases God. He is first and foremost concerned with what you believe over what you do. Because ultimately, what you believe will determine what you do. I read this. The priest says, rites and ceremonies. The thinker says, culture and education. The moralist says, do this and do that and the other thing and emulate a whole series of separate acts. Jesus says one thing. One thing is needed. Believe in me. What is Jesus wanting from us today? Give this up, join that, do this. No, he says one thing is needed. Believe in me. Verse 29 to 30. This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. They answered. So he gives them the thing. They answered. And they didn't move. They said, show us a miraculous sign and we will believe. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. Alex read about that this morning. The scriptures say, Moses gave us bread from heaven to eat. So how do we make Jesus our source rather than our vendor? Number two, if you're taking notes, look to the source rather than waiting for the signs. Look for the source rather than waiting for the signs. I've met Christians and they're sitting in limbo. Yeah, I was serving in church, or I was part of a team, but you know, God sort of called me out, and now I'm just waiting for a sign. Wow. Guess what? You can wait the rest of your life for a sign. and that sign probably won't come. But are we looking to the source, or are we waiting for a sign?
Yeah, it's good.
Come on. If you're struggling at the moment, maybe you're feeling a bit disconnected. My encouragement is don't wait for the sign, look to the source. See, the Israelites experienced a miracle every single morning, but they still complained. They didn't believe. They contemplated going back to Egypt. They focused on the wilderness rather than the one who was feeding them and sustaining them. You can focus on your circumstances. You can wonder where your next miracle is coming from, or you can look to the source rather than waiting for the signs. Verse 22, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven, my Father did. Come on. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. Come on. The pastor doesn't give you the bread. See, I'm trying to keep this simple, but perhaps the depth of what I think God was showing me as I read this stuff. You know, sometimes as pastors we get criticized. Oh, they haven't got fresh bread. They're not giving us that. They're not giving us what we need. Have you heard that said about pastors? Well, that's theologically incorrect. It's wrong. Yeah, sometimes we're not that good as pastors. Sometimes we don't get it right. Sometimes we can get a bit dry. All those things happen to us because we're human. But the point is, our job is not to feed you with the bread. Our point is to point you to the one who is your source. Our job is to point you to the bread of life. Our point is to point you to where you can actually take something in that you don't need a pastor to help you, because you've got the power of God living inside you. You know, we can actually point you there, but we can't make it happen. So how do we make Jesus our source rather than our vendor? Number three, and this is where Jesus was trying to move this crowd. He wanted to lift their mind from physical necessities to heavenly realities. Come on. If you're in a spot at the moment, Jesus actually wants to move your thinking from a physical necessity to a heavenly reality. Verse 23, the true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven. In other words, he brings the values, the cultures, and the power of heaven into this world and gives life to the word. Of course, our physical stuff's important. You can't live physically without food. But are we ruled by the physical or the spiritual? Verse 34 and 35 say, Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. I am the bread of life. He wants to lift their eyes from the material of earthly kingdoms right up to spiritual realities. You see, I can guarantee, if you can allow Jesus to lift your eyes from earthly kingdoms to spiritual realities, your physical necessities and your spiritual realities will make more sense. In fact, it will be the spiritual that leads the physical rather than the physical limiting the spiritual. We need to put our confidence in Jesus instead of in material bread. Verse 35b, that's the second half of it. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me. If the team could join me, please. Can we sing in a minute that Jesus song that we were singing? I speak Jesus, yeah. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me. This was spoken to the people who ate the bread and ate the fish and were part of the miracle. They were there. They were in it. Now, you would think if you were part of a miracle like that, you'd be like, yep, that's it. I'm sold out. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've tasted it. I can still feel it in my tummy. I'm there. But he says to them, he says, but you haven't believed in me, though you have seen me. You've seen me. You've seen the miracle, but you still haven't believed. His challenge caused offense to many when he said, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink the blood, you cannot have eternal life. And people were there in that space and they wanted to just keep Jesus around them to serve as a magical baker king who would keep the loaves coming rather than actually make him the source of their spiritual life. And I've got a big challenge this morning because I believe we've got a calling to see this church grow. We've got a calling to reach this city. We've got a calling to see things happen in New Norfolk. We've got a calling to see more churches planted in Nepal. We've got a calling to be part of your church that's happening in Napal Gunj. We've got a calling to partner in the Philippines. God's going to call us to more. But it's not going to happen if we think we've just got a magical baker king who's just going to flood us with resource, who's going to give us all the things that we need. It's going to happen because we make him the bread of life. That we actually start to understand that the power of God actually resides inside us. That we don't need a vendor. We need the bread of life. If you're disconnected this morning, yeah, you might need a cup of coffee with somebody. You might need someone to take notice. Those things are really important. But they're only going to last for a little while. But if you would eat the bread of life, in other words, if you would understand what it means to have Jesus inside you, wow. There's no end to what he can do through us and in us. There's no end to the calling and vision and what he's going to do. We want to get this building here finished. We want it to be a blessing to the community. We want people not to come in here and just eat bread. We want them to find out what it means to actually eat the bread of life. And it won't just happen through smart planning. It's going to happen because we understand that when we've got Jesus in us, he is our sustainable source. And he will empower people to be part of his vision and his plan. And we're going to see incredible things happen. Come on, let's stand up. What is it for you this morning? Where do you need breakthrough? Some of you think, yeah, I need miracles. God's into miracles. He wants to do miracles. Come on. More than that, he wants to be your very source. I just want to encourage you, Em. Just be careful how I put this. But you would love that miracle that just sorted stuff. And I don't think Jesus is coming in that way. But he is your source. He is your life. And you have got more than enough inside of you. And as you just keep eating the bread of life, that you will be sustained, that you will grow, that you will rise above, And I'm just believing he wants you to know that there are things at one point in your life you said, that would have hurt me, that would have almost destroyed me. But as you keep eating the bread of life, that you will rise above. And I can see you almost walking on top, walking over those things, walking over those things that once you would have thought, I can't go into that room, but I see you flying over the top of that room. I see you having power over the things that would speak to you in that room, because you actually have experienced the bread of life. And that the children of Israel, it was the wilderness that prepared them for the promise. And as you have walked through the wilderness, and as you are faithful to him in the wilderness, as you eat the bread, not just the magical baker king, but as you eat the true bread of life in the wilderness, you will be prepared for the promise. Don't let go of the promise, because right now you are being prepared and you are being sustained for the promise. A lady over here, what's your name? Michelle. You just got to eat the bread of life, Michelle. I don't know anything about your circumstances. I don't know what you're going through at the moment, but what I do know is the Holy Spirit saying to me, encourage Michelle, that as she continues to eat the bread of life, and as you... And I think there is a real sense as you shift your focus from circumstances, as you shift your focus from things that are going on around you, as you shift your focus from there onto Jesus himself, he is going to sustain you, and he will lead you. He will lead you through, he will lead you out, and he will lead you on top of those circumstances. 12 months from now, I encourage you to write this in your diary. 12 months from now, I believe that your circumstances will have changed completely. As you make Jesus your very source, you will be amazed. You'll be able to look back and see what he has done in you, which has enabled you to walk through and above your circumstances to a point where you will be amazed at how different those things are. Make it your bread. Dave Miller. Oh, come on. As you make him your bread. As you make him your bread. I just get a sense where he's saying, you know, there are things that you carry in your heart. There are things that, you know, you'd still like to see happen in business. There are things that are there. And sometimes we can think in the natural, where's that going to come from? Look. We look around a building like this and think, oh, we want to get it finished. Where's it going to come from? You know, we can do that. We can do the maths and we can think about incomes and all that. And you know what? The Lord said to David, don't do the census. Don't add that stuff up, because when you add that stuff up, you live in the natural. But if you look to me, you live above and you live in the spiritual. And I believe there are things that he's putting on you. And he's saying, you make me your bread and I will actually give you, I'll give you a power. I'll give you an authority where you walk confidently in and you know that he's your source. And you're not looking, where's it coming from? Because you know what? Because he is in you, you're actually going to be creating it. Come on, let's just sing the name of Jesus. We'll close the service in just a moment. If you have never made Jesus your true source, if you've never actually eaten the bread and drunk the blood. Now that's a terminology. We don't literally do that, but that is actually accepting that Jesus died for you, that his body was broken, and the only way you can be made right with God is by being part of his blood that was shed as a sacrifice for you. That's the starting point. And if you've never done that, please come forward and I would like to lead you in a prayer. I would like to lead you in a prayer where you make Jesus your very source. But for the rest of us, let's just sing the name of Jesus over our circumstances, over our city, over New Norfolk, over Nepal, over all these situations that we can think of, over health, over finances, over family, over that area where you're just waiting for breakthrough, over that family member who is so lost. I was just talking to somebody the other night and they were talking about, you know, somebody close to their world, and they just said, oh man, you know, he's so effed up at the moment. He's got this going on, he's got that going on. What do we do? Come on, let's just sing Jesus over that person. Let's just sing Jesus over situations like that right now. Come on, let's lift his name up. Once before.